May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce I'm thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus my Lord. 380.
Thank you. We will read from God's holy word a part of Jeremiah chapter 17 and then a part of Romans 15. Jeremiah chapter 17 from verse 1 to verse 14. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars, whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knewest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn for ever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. We'll read Romans, Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 to 16. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour for his good, to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray indeed for thy strengthening and thy help this day, this evening. And O Lord, in that which we hope to come to in thy holy word, do, O Lord, apply the Spirit. Do speak by the Spirit, we pray, into our hearts. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. O Lord, may it be our spirit indeed, that we may truly desire to hear thy word, to hear thy word spoken, to hear it with power, desiring to hear thy word, that we may walk in it. O Lord, indeed, we would pray. Grant us understanding of thy word. Grant us of thy spirit to believe. Without thee we can do nothing. O Lord, do grant us that increase of faith to believe to the saving of our souls. O Lord, we would thank thee for thy word of truth, thy word of encouragement, that word of reproof, thy word of direction, a word of blessing, of consolation, and of comfort. O Lord, we would pray, give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Do, O Lord, be with the church and congregation here, that thou mightest be pleased to grant a godly increase. And, O Lord, we do desire that there may be those in this neighbourhood who might come truly seeking to know thee, whom to know is life eternal, to truly seek thy word as it is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. O Lord, indeed, we do beg that thou mightest be pleased to work, even in this village, those who may pass by the place of worship, that there may be that desire to come and seek thee and to find thee. And, O Lord, those of us that are gathered here, O Lord, we pray there may be the blessing, thy blessing to rest upon each. O Lord, to know thy mercy and thy goodness. O Lord, do be with the children, do help them and the young people, to guide them, to keep them in this present evil day. And we who are parents, grant us that grace and help. O Lord, we may be given that grace from on high to bring up our children rightly in thy sight. O Lord, do be with those who are sick at this time, unable to come out to thy house. O Lord, we do pray for thy help to be upon them, thy healing mercies to be upon them, thy strengthening mercies. And those that are away at this time, O Lord, we do pray that if there are those who could be here but have not the desire to come to thy house, O Lord, indeed, we do pray that thou wouldst work in their heart to bring them back in repentance, to be delivered from that forsaking of thy house. O Lord, indeed, we do pray for our friends the deacons in their responsibility, in their burden, in all the affairs of the house, and in thy service. Grant them help, grant them strength. To O Lord, grant that others may be raised up in the church. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be with the churches, to grant a godly increase. Do grant a sending forth of more labourers, a raising up of pastors over the churches. O Lord, a word going forth with power. Do strengthen thy servants that are infirm or laid aside, or in old age or in weakness. O Lord, do be with them. And O Lord, we would pray for thy one true church throughout this earth, some in the midst of persecution or unrest or war, distress, poverty, some without the written word before them, desiring that they might receive, or those who have a version which is not faithful. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to help in all these things, to bless thy one true church with thy word. O thou who art the word, O Lord Jesus Christ, do indeed be with the Trinitarian Bible Society and all others who would seek to translate thy holy word, that indeed there may be thy rich blessing upon those who labour. And, O Lord, that there may be that sending forth with power of thy word, and that many ministries may be abundantly blessed, many homes, many hearts. And, O Lord, in our own land, we grant that true revival, we pray, in the churches, a turning again unto thee, the power of the Spirit coming upon us, a turning unto the word. O Lord, do grant that thirst, we pray. O Lord, deliver us at this difficult time, critical time. O Lord, thou hast looked in mercy upon those in authority, our Prime Minister and Government and Parliament, our Queen and Royal Family. O Lord, look in mercy, we pray. If it could please thee that they may seek after thee for wisdom. And O Lord, that thou wouldst guide us in these coming critical months. O Lord, thou art above all things. To our eyes many things are uncertain, but all is at thy command. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness to us, thy many mercies. And do help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Hymn 1080.
May the Lord help us in turning to his word, and I direct you to Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, and particularly verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In Paul's epistle to the Romans, as in others of the epistles, we see in the earlier parts that setting forth of the foundation of doctrine, teaching, that which is the truth, the power of God, the sovereignty of God, the sinfulness of man, the fall of man, the work of redemption in Christ Jesus, and the way of salvation set forth. And then in these latter parts, of many of the epistles, including Romans, we have set forth those aspects of experience and practice. And it is most necessary that that which we experience in our worship, our religion, trust a true religion, is that which is founded upon the Word of God. That which is through Christ, who is the Word. That which is through the Holy Ghost. The word was given by inspiration of God. That which we do, that which we practice, is founded upon God's word. It doesn't matter what experiences we may have. And there are places, sadly, up and down this world, this country, where there'll be people professing all sorts of experiences and excitement which are not founded upon God's word. There'll be those practicing various things, but not founded upon God's word. Alas, there are some who will proclaim sound doctrine, but have no experience in their hearts. Or even those who profess sound doctrine, but their practice, their walk is utterly inconsistent, hypocrites. How we do need the power of the Holy Spirit, that increase of faith, that which we read in God's word, that may be applied with power into our hearts, we may walk in love in his ways, know the power of the Spirit in our hearts, not just the letter, but the power of it. And that we should walk in love. Now, when you read this chapter, we have these practical exhortations to encourage the Romans, and indeed, as it is written in God's word, to each one who profess the name of Christ. We have that supporting of the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, that we should not please ourselves, But we should seek our neighbour's good. That we should be of one mind. There should be that union, not discord or divisions. We should receive one another, that is, in love, in compassion. But for each of these exhortations, the apostle immediately brings us to consider Christ. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That desire that each should be like-minded, one to another, according to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Thus in all these things the apostle brings us to Christ. And so we have here that the principle, the precepts of the gospel in love, in faith. Or how we do need that the God of hope should fill us by the Holy Ghost. That which we do should be to the honour and glory of God and in love. That we should consider him. Consider our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we should see him more. Meditate upon him more. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We do so need that which is from God. Now, the God of hope. These blessings, they come from God. The power of God. We also, in the preceding verses, Paul repeatedly quotes from the Old Testament the Word of God. This reminds us that that power of the Spirit must be in accordance with God's Word. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. To deny the doctrine of the Trinity is to strike upon those fatal rocks. Make shipwreck. To seek to break that union between the Father, the Word, who's the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is heresy. Deadly. If we are to know that power of the Spirit, it must be in accordance with the Word. If we to know the power of the Word, it must be through the Spirit. If we are to come unto the Father, it must be through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly God manifest in the flesh. A triune Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One God, yet three persons. These three are one. A glorious plan of salvation. Eternal plan of salvation. And the Father sending forth the Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever should believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Christ being revealed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost reproving of sin. Showing forth to us judgment to come and guiding us into all truth, which is in Christ Jesus. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, we see here that first great principle, it must be a divine power to give a true and a lasting joy and peace. And that is through believing, in believing. And it is the Apostle Paul's great desire, indeed prayer. Now the God of hope fill you. Indeed, it should be the desire, heartfelt desire of everyone who has tasted of the goodness of our Lord and Saviour. It should be the desire of every true church in love, that there may be that knowledge, that others may know of so great a salvation, so precious a Saviour. There should not be a burden, as it were, to testify of the love of God. Truly, it ought to be a joy to speak of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace. It should be a joy to see others coming to a knowledge of the truth. We see this throughout the epistles, that desire of the apostle. We have it in Romans chapter 11, that desire towards his own kinsmen of Israel. There indeed is that desire, that beseeching of the Lord. Actually, it's chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Let us beware of a hardened spirit that cares not about the souls of our fellow men, that cares not concerning the sending forth of the everlasting gospel. That cares not whether others come to the house of God or not. For that hard spirit is not the spirit we read of in God's word. It's not the spirit of Christ. Christ, well, it was the accusation against him, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Christ never condoned sin, but he received sinners, had mercy upon them. The Pharisees didn't. They had that hard spirit. They did not have that desire, like concerning that woman that was a sinner. Evidently, her life was a public scandal. And that Pharisee said in his heart, if that this man is a prophet, he would know what manner of woman it is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ knew perfectly that that woman was coming in repentance, in sorrow over her sins, weeping at his feet, coming to Jesus, begging for mercy. Humbled at his feet. And she was the one that received those precious words of forgiveness. And that word of go in peace. Sins are forgiven. The Pharisee, it would seem, cared not about this. We read that elsewhere of those Pharisees, or those that watched whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. They cared nothing. There was no rejoicing at all at those who were set at liberty on the Sabbath day, delivered from their affliction or delivered from their sins. But there was an accusing, a finding fault. Let us beware of that spirit. That if there is no desire in our hearts, that according to God's will, it must be God's will and God's power. It can't be through our own powers of persuasion or art or devices or any such thing. There are those who have made great trouble in the churches by seeking to increase the numbers in churches by modern methods of marketing and attractions and entertainments. It must be according to the power of the Spirit. But if we are in the Spirit, there'll be that desire. Like the Apostle Paul expressed it in chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And that was the chapter after the Apostle Paul has set out most clearly the doctrine of election and predestination. There's no contradiction here. The holding fast to the truths of the sovereignty of God should be no hindrance to the preaching of the gospel or the sending forth of the gospel. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," saith the risen Lord Jesus Christ. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." In the Acts of the Apostles we read, "And they that were ordained to eternal life believed." But the very next word is "and." "And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." There was no contradiction in these things. May we hold fast to the truth. The truth, the faith once delivered unto the saints. And may the Lord, by his Spirit, fill us with that love. That love unto God. That love the brethren. Indeed, that love our neighbour. That desire that there may be that growth in grace and that knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Let us come. But we're the God of hope. I read Jeremiah chapter 17 because there we find reference. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Indeed, we read of elsewhere in the Old Testament, a Lord of hope. Even in Jeremiah, in the midst of those, as it were, terrible things indeed in Israel. Yet the Lord is the Lord of hope. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is." Well, that word "trust" is synonymous with the word "faith." And we see that in Hebrews, that where there is faith, there is hope. Where there is hope, there must be the work of faith. Read that in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the God of hope. And may the Lord give us that precious sight that He is the God of hope, that encouragement in the midst of trouble or trial or impossibilities. He is the God of hope. That we may come unto Him in prayer. With God nothing shall be impossible. To come in the precious name of Jesus. Certainly one of the biggest mountains in my life at one time, when that was of my sins. But who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Zerubbabel, a type of Christ. Or Christ. That mountain that seemed so enormous, so impossible, how ever could it be scaled or climbed? Or how one tried to put it right, it couldn't be. Couldn't be ignored, couldn't be set right, couldn't be papered over, couldn't be erased. Reading here, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. Sin. When the work of the Holy Spirit comes upon us to reprove of sin, those matters, we cannot get round them, under them, over them, cannot avoid them. There before us, we're a sinner. We've sinned. We've broken God's law. Sin is transgression of the law that is the law of God. And none but God can forgive sin. We've broken God's law. But yet, He's the God of hope. That is what that hope, which is the work of faith, that brought that woman who was a sinner to come to the feet of Jesus, to the house of Simon the Pharisee. Naturally speaking, would she not have been embarrassed or ashamed to have come like that in front of others? No, her eyes were upon Jesus, of Jesus only. Jesus was all her desire. Jesus was the one that she knew that she must come before and confess. Well, we don't really read of any words, but for her heart, there was a confession that she was a sinner. The Lord had mercy upon her. There was hope. There was no hope from Simon the Pharisee. Likewise, the woman with the issue of blood. She tried many other things and had spent all her money on physicians of no value, who rather made her worse than better. At last she heard of Jesus, and she came and touched the hem of His garment. If I but may touch the hem of His garment, to be made perfectly whole. Well, to touch the hem of a garment requires to stoop down, to come to the feet of Jesus. That hem, it's the finishing touch. There's the finished work of Christ, Christ's righteousness, and she touched it by faith. A God of hope. She had that hope, if I but touch the hem of His garment. Elsewhere it is referred to as the border of his garment. Well, at Mount Sinai there was no hope there. There was the terrors of the law, and blackness and darkness. And any should but touch the border of that mount, they were to be stoned or thrust through with a dart, even so much as a beast. But Jesus, that woman who was unclean under the law because of that issue of blood many years, was weak, must have been most sorely tried. Times when we're ill and the illness goes on, isn't we much cast down? Will this ever end? It was, recall rightly, 12 years. Long time. Unclean. Could not have come to the temple. Could not have come into the presence of those who were clean. Weak. Gone to many physicians. Hopes raised, only to be dashed. Hope to be better, but worse. The last came to Jesus. There by faith she touched the hem of his garment, and she was made perfectly whole. And that those words translated perfectly whole or made whole, it is the same as translated elsewhere as save. So we're not just talking here about a bodily healing. Yes, there was for her, as a token of the power and divinity of Christ Jesus, that he is truly God, had all power and authority, but made perfectly whole. The word literally means in the originals, be saved. Same word is translated as save in that famous verse concerning the naming of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Save, make perfectly whole. Our God of hope. Well, for those sins, those mountains of sins, impenetrable. No way round them, no way through them, under them, over them, or any other way. But there's the God of hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is that look of faith. In the wilderness, when Moses raised up that, was commanded to make that brazen serpent. In the original Hebrew, I discovered that the word for brass, or brazen, is the adjective, but brass, the noun, is almost identical word to sin in Hebrew. Who made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. Then we read of this in John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, bearing the sins of the church, true church of God, the elect, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now in the wilderness, in the Old Testament, the Israelites who had been bitten, were dying, were bidden to look and live. And all that looked, they lived, whether they were near or far. However good their eyesight might have been, myself, without any glasses, it would have been very unclear to see something, but all who lived, who looked, lived. Didn't matter how clear their sight was, how close they were, they lived. In the New Testament, just like shown clearly forth, that look of faith is to believe. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. whether our believing is ever so clear or not, whether we've come, as it were, to the foot of the cross, or seen afar off, or whether our sight, as it were, by faith is rather hazy, or whether it's crystal clear. Those by precious faith who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Some are favoured with a clearer sight than others, but the effect is the same. By God's grace, salvation, forgiveness of sins, the power that terrible load of sin, deliverance and forgiveness. Some come to a knowledge of their sins and of mercy, as it were, in a very, you might say, sudden way, even dramatic way, like Saul of Tarsus. Others more gradually. Some in one manner and others in another manner, but it is all God's work. Lydia, we read, it was a seemingly more gentle work, whose heart God opened, but it's the same. That reproving of sin, that bringing to confession of sin and repentance, and looking unto Jesus by faith, and knowing that mercy, that forgiveness, and the joy and peace in believing. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, there are other mountains, impossibilities. Matters that are before us that we cannot get round in any way. We must, as it were, face them. But how can we? Jehoshaphat had to face that great army that came against Jerusalem and against Judah. And no strength against this great army. But his eyes were up unto the Lord, came into the house of the Lord, into the courts of the Lord. And the Lord granted deliverance. About Gideon. Seemed impossible, yea, rather foolish, to start with an army of about 20,000 and be down to 300. Yet there was the teaching that our own strength must be reduced, as it may be seen to be the power of God and the deliverance of God in a way that we had not planned out, but that which God had commanded and that which God had purposed. And Gideon, he feared. Well, the Lord was very merciful. The Lord is very merciful. If thou fearest, take thy servant Phurah, go down to the host. And so Gideon did. He went down to the host, and there he heard of that man who had a dream, and another interpreted it, speaking of how that was Gideon who should come and defeat the host. And Gideon was there and heard it. And then went forth in the strength of that. And his men stood around about the enemy in the darkness and exposed the light, blew the trumpets, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The Lord granted him, the God of hope granted him that faith to believe and to venture forth, holding forth the truth, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, to expose the light in darkness, to blow the trumpet The enemy was thrown into confusion. We may be much tried. I know I've been a besetting sin so often to try and work out a way out of problems myself. But cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So often we try to work out our own way out of a problem, rather than seeking that wisdom which is from above. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May we rather come to the Lord in hope, in faith. As the Apostle Paul elsewhere exhorts, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come unto the God of hope. To lay our concerns, our impossibilities, our perplexities before him, to pray that he would guide us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, indeed in committing a matter from our heart before the Lord in the precious name of Jesus. Casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. And indeed, shall we not feel a peace in a matter? The more we try and work it out ourselves, it's like a knot. The more we try to entangle it, it becomes more tightly entangled itself. The more we fiddle with it, the worse it becomes. Because if we but cast the matter into the Lord's hands, shall not the God of hope undertake he careth for you? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Truly say, when the Lord lifts one above those besetting sins and from the heart can commit a matter into the Lord's hand, well, truly then, in that good hope, the Lord will undertake underneath the everlasting arms. And indeed, felt that joy and a peace in a matter. I can truly say the greatest blessing indeed was the forgiveness of sin. And there was that mountain of sin that just could not be erased, removed, effaced, or in any way. When the Lord came, the God of hope, through the power of the Holy Ghost, then there was that joy and peace in believing. In believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was joy, rejoicing. There was peace. Not only peace in one's mind, for that peace which passeth all understanding. Peace with God through Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The first words that the Lord Jesus Christ spake to his disciples. Peace be unto you. He'd laid down his precious life, sacrifice for sin, shed his blood. Now risen again for the justification. And thus, peace. Reconciliation. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have much emphasis upon the word believe in God's word. Now some would give many fleshly exhortations to believe, believe, believe. All you have to do is accept, believe and come. A, B, C, as they say. And I was once in that sort of company, in that sort of church. But that is a distortion of God's word. But yet, there's that great emphasis placed upon believing in God's word. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Paul here declares the source of that believing. And we read in John's Gospel, if you care to look in a concordance, you'll find the word believe or variations upon the word believe appear more in that gospel than any other place in the Word of God. And the Apostle John writes, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There is that believing through that inspired testimony in God's word and that life through Christ. That believing upon the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Saviour. Now we should pray that the Lord would increase our faith. The Lord would be pleased to deliver us from unbelief. Indeed is a sin of unbelief. But rather, like the disciples, they came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. One who cried, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Cried unto Jesus, help mine unbelief. And we bless the blessings they flow through believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much trouble we come into, how much distress of mind through unbelief, falling a prey to temptation, distrusting the Lord's goodness, distrusting his power, impatience in trying to pursue our own way rather than waiting upon the Lord, or on the other hand, neglecting that which the Lord has spoken and not going in the Lord's way or commandment. Oh, that we may be given that increase of faith to believe. But may we consider, as it were, the ground which is fertile for believing. These things are in God's word, that we may be encouraged in that which is right, and warned against that which is wrong. We have in Romans, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See a connection here with that. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Faith cometh by hearing. Well, there's that exhortation to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. If we neglect the house of God. It is not we're in a barren place, not a fruitful place for believing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Lord has ordained that it's by the foolishness of preaching. The Lord has ordained that those blessings through the assembling of ourselves together, through God's word, both in public and in private, through prayer, meditation upon his word. These things are written that ye might believe. In Mark's gospel, in the beginning, in these few simple words, but very profound. Now after that John, that is John the Baptist, was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. We see here very clearly the importance of repentance and the order that the Lord has put here. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It is through repentance and through believing in his name, by faith, there is that entering into the kingdom of God. We are made sons of God by adoption, to have that good hope and that inheritance at heavenly Jerusalem. But if there is no repentance, no sorrowing over sins, we cannot expect there will be that spiritual believing. Those in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, they could not enter in because of unbelief. What were they doing? They were murmuring. They were challenging God. Well, they often challenged Moses and Aaron, but truly they were challenging God, murmuring at his provision, murmuring at the way, complaining. Repeatedly. Even though they had the very evidences, miraculous evidences before them day by day, with the cloudy fiery pillar, with the manna, the water from the smitten rock. But they murmured. And they could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And these things are a warning to us. May we be delivered from an unrepentant heart, from a murmuring, rebellious heart. Indeed, that he giveth grace to the humble. As it were, that fertile ground in which, you may say, the belief and the fruits of the Spirit, they come forth, that ground that is broken up, prepared. A broken heart, not a divided one, as it were, divided between this world and well, alas, the old man is like that. It needs to be ploughed up, as it were. And the Lord comes to heal the brokenhearted. That indeed is the fertile ground, that good seed that may grow up and bear fruit. To this man while I look, he that is poor and of a contrite, that is a sorrowful spirit, and that trembleth at my word. There is that sorrowing, that bowing before God. that coming to the feet of Jesus, that coming in repentance, that indeed is the way. May the Lord keep us from grudges against one another, or grudges against God even. May the Lord grant us that softened spirit, and that we may know this power, the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Sadly, there are many ministries, some of which I could name, which have been very well known nationally and internationally, seeking that people should believe the gospel. But there's no mention of repentance or sin. Our Lord's words are very clear concerning that need of repentance and that sorrowing over sin. We cannot skirt around these things. Children of Israel, they must come to Mount Sinai. No shortcuts to the promised land that avoided Mount Sinai. No avoiding of trembling before the mount. Feel our condemnation under the law of God. But even there, in the solemnities of Sinai and the solemnity of the sin that Israel committed there in making the golden calf and dancing before it, yet it was there that Moses was commanded and was given the pattern of the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, all those things that spoke of Christ's work, sacrifice, the mercy seat. God is a gracious God. Even, I say, those what seem to be the greatest of sins. All sin indeed is deadly. If one sin is sufficient, without outside of Christ, for us to be condemned to hell eternally. But even the greatest of sins, the darkest of places, yet God is a God of mercy and of hope. For that is revealed through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. May we be encouraged to press forward, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, according to God's word. And may the Lord grant us that increase of faith. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £815, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Charles Woolboys is expected to preach in the evening and administer the Lord's Supper. Now friends at Oakington hold their New Year's prayer meeting on Tuesday morning, and at St. Ives on Wednesday evening. And the collections today are for the FGA. Let us close with hymn 410. O for a heart prepared to sing to God my Saviour and my King, while with his saints I join to tell, my Jesus has done all things well. 410.
Thank you.
do grant us thy blessing as we part. Do take us on our way safely this evening. And do bless thine own word, we pray. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.